Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Shift Drink on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Season 7, year 2020.
It's a season 7? I don't even
know
that.
We've come a long way, Eddie Kim. It's only been a couple years, but we're already in our 7th season. I am Matthew Ramsey, Wiley Coyote Cheeseburger Life Coach and Cold Beer Crusader.
I am Eddie Kim, proud DCist, sneaky barman, and highball evangelist. Every week, we share a shift drink and swap war stories from behind the line with chefs, bartenders, bakers, and brewers, and anyone who touches this all-encompassing industry. This week, we are joined by, I'm calling you the mayors of corner of the corner of 8th and TD.
That's fair.
Okay. There's
nothing else going
on. It's a very specific district that you guys are.
Or the most prestigious ampersand team out there right now. David Batista and Sung Weiser. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Yeah, welcome.
If the royal first family duties weren't enough, David is a co-owner of All Souls, my personal favorite corner bar in Shaw. And pretty much in the city. And Sung spends her days as the principal and creative director for General Design Company. Most likely you have seen her designs, if not in
All Souls
Bar, but
designs.
Somewhere. Yeah, somewhere in any restaurant in D.C. Welcome. Hi.
Thanks.
Hi.
Thanks. Yeah, we've been trying to get you on for a while.
We're unable to keep dodging you.
The persistence of Eddie Kim.
Do you have a standing shift at All Souls on Monday nights? So that's always a really great, right?
Yeah. Mondays and Fridays, I'm sleeping behind the bar.
So it's always a good excuse to get out of a lot of things. So sorry, I got to shift. People rely on me.
It worked out perfectly. That's what people say.
Now, this is Shift Drink, and I think All Souls, this is exactly the beverage combo that I think of. What are we drinking here?
Oh, I mean, I had to have a Maker's Mark and some sparkling rosé.
Also known as the All
Souls. Also known as the All Souls.
Well, I mean,
at our place, yes.
Can we, I know you've been drinking this for many, many years. Can we talk about the origin story of the All Souls?
Yeah, you might actually have been there.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was at room 11.
I don't remember if you were working or not. Okay. I was running some errands for the General Design Company, and I'd been driving in traffic all day. We were planning on having dinner with my brother and sister-in-law at room 11. They always have a fantastic sparkling wine, so I knew I was going to have that when I walked in the door. I knew I was going to start with a glass of whatever sparkling rosé they had. But I got there, and after several hours of driving, I just needed the bourbon, too. And so I ordered both of them, and I'm like, wow, this actually tastes really good together. And that's it.
This was back when Room 11 did not carry Maker's Mark, so it started off as Woodford Reserve.
It was Woodford. Yeah.
Holy classic shit.
I know,
that's
right?
That's crazy, yeah.
But I'm a Maker's drinker.
So. Legends are being revealed here.
Yeah, Room 11.
Yeah, so that's the shot and a beer combo, except your version of it.
Exactly.
That's me.
Although we say you should sip on it.
Really?
Yeah, sip on a little Maker, sip on a little rosé.
And let's just quickly touch upon glassware here, because Sung, you're drinking out of a rocks glass with an elegant ice cube. The rest
Civilized.
Of us are scumbagging it with some tin coffee mugs. Yeah, what's that about?
Well, I mean,
I like drinking out of a coffee mug.
I'm never gonna talk about it. If you see him work behind the bar, he has a coffee. I mean,
the man loves coffee.
But I drink coffee.
Well, you must be constantly hopped up on caffeine, which I know you're not. Or there's something else in the and you'll
if
never
it's in
reveal
a coffee
what's
cup,
in your
it is coffee.
Coffee. Yeah.
And truthfully, Song did ask for. She only requested the Makers and the Rocks.
I'll go with it.
But you'll
I'm not going to turn down the rosé.
Exactly. Okay. But yeah, you and David Letterman have a lot in common, it appears, because he would also just drink out of his coffee mugs. Coffee.
I was going to say, wow, I'm becoming an old white guy, but I didn't know.
Also, you're both funny guys, you know, there's a lot there. All right, well, before we dig too far into it, maybe we should touch on some new things in the news.
Or what's been happening this week. You just came back from Aruba.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, I'm a little tapped out because I was...
Is that what the hat is for? Your new...
This is a cool, crisp lager brewed only on the island of Aruba, my friend. I learned a new word that I'm just going to start applying to everything. You might know this word, but it's a different spelling. It's douchey. And Aruba douchey relates to sexiness or coolness.
Douche?
D-U-S-H-I.
Okay.
So
can you please use
it? I'm all about that douchey hospitality.
Can you
please use
it in a sentence?
Yeah, this sparkling rosé is super douchey.
Works perfectly.
I've been called worse.
But yeah, so but then a lot of things happened. Danny Meyer opened up his new first space in DC, and they're doing it with their whole hospitality included.
Yeah, let's see if that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tried it up in New York at a couple of places. It wasn't a huge success, but I think he's trying it again here. We'll see if it works.
Yeah, I think people are still a little bit raw from the 77 stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's always interesting. I think we can all admit the tip system is broke, but I don't know if anybody has the answers yet.
It's funny that you bring up the 77 because the Washington Post did some reporting following up on all that, and actually a lot of the concessions that the council made in repealing Initiative 77, saying that they'll put up a website, do a lot more marketing, make sure everyone knows the whole tipping structure, actually hasn't happened. So, yeah, I feel like this issue is going to be coming up again very, very soon.
I think Laura Hayes wrote an article about it, but it was interesting because they asked Danny Meyer, because Danny's friend Jose Andres, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, was very much against 77, so yeah. They've agreed to disagree on the subject. So we'll see.
There you go.
David, you're bar owner. What do you
do? I mean, I think they were trying to... they were trying to do too much with it. It wasn't... I don't think people in our industry necessarily needed... They don't need the help that other people do as far as, you know, getting fair wages. I mean, they're including anyone that's getting tipped, and that's not necessarily... doesn't really work for servers or bartenders as much as it might help out somebody else in a different industry, saying like nail salons or, you know, delivery drivers. I mean, I think that was, they were trying to...
They incorporate a lot of things into that. Yeah, lump a lot of people in.
Yeah, I think it was a little too broad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a cornucopia.
Big news. Actually, there's a follow-up to last week's episode where we talked about the wine tariffs. I spent last night doing my homework because I thought it was due last night, but it's actually due tonight.
Classic Eddie Kim.
Today is the last day to leave your comments on the U.S. Trade Representative website. Go to winefolly.com. They have a link to leave your comment. Tonight's the last night. You know, you say whatever you want, and, you know, don't use any curse words, but show it from your perspective. Leave a personal comment of what you think the wine industry is going to happen or how it's going to affect you. It could go into effect as early as tomorrow. So, apocalypse now, essentially.
Apocalypse tomorrow.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll put up a link.
Wow. And, thank you, Alexia.
Nice.
The apocalypse button. Thank you.
Yeah, what else? We have... I'm stalling. Oh, the Tartines Big Factory.
Yeah, they closed in L.A.
Did you talk about this last week?
No.
Okay.
I'm about to go to L.A., but unfortunately, San Francisco, you know, their beloved tartine didn't work out in L.A.
Such a bummer. Yeah, because when Elizabeth and Emily's crew were out there, they got the tour of the factory, and apparently it was just super impressive and awesome. But as the world turns.
And my last point, the L.A. Times food section is moving from Wednesday to Sunday, but probably more interesting enough, they're going to get rid of italicizing foreign words in their food reporting.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's a smart move.
I looked around. I don't think the Washington Post does it. I don't think the city paper does it here in in D.C. As well. But a lot of newspapers still italicize words, and it creates an unknown effect. You Song, you work in design. What do you think italicizing words do?
I mean, it's definitely a tool to draw attention.
Yeah.
So in that context, I suppose italicizing a foreign word is drawing attention to it for a little bit of an isolating reason, right?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exclusive.
And then, David, you're from LA, right? No, West Coast?
No, actually.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you spent some
time. I lived in San Francisco for a couple years, but I'm from Pennsylvania. Yeah.
And but I feel like out west, it's much less important to draw attention to.
Well, and there might be foreign words but they're not foreign to everybody. It's just new words.
It's just
to
like
you.
Around, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's segue to our first little thing. I believe Eddie Kim asked you to come up with two truths and one lie.
Two truths, one lie.
So you did something collaborative on this one, right?
No, I heard. No.
You did one?
We went our own directions.
we don't collaborate.
I give you.
I always like it when. Yeah, I always prefer it when there's two different ones because it's more gaming that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, remember this might be the first on-air divorce you guys have had.
We can't agree on a lot of things anyway, so trying to collaborate on that would have been.
Let's make this a healing moment.
All lies.
Truth, I love my partner.
Song, let's start off with you.
All right. So I focused all of mine on my sporty accomplishments because I think any of those things would be impossible to believe. So I'll start there. The first one is I twice qualified to play in the APA World Pool Championship in Vegas.
You're pooled.
Once
pool hound.
In singles tournament and once in as Jack and Jill. So that's a partnership between male female.
These sound like technical terms. Truth.
Was that the Jack and Jill part? That sounded technical?
You had me at Jack and Jill.
Number two is my high school volleyball team qualified to play in a tournament in Japan. And we were very excited, but we were knocked out in the first round. Number three was my parents forced me into karate when I was a kid, but I did stick with it until college when I had to quit because design classes were taking over. But I made it to purple belt.
Oh, wow. You quit karate for design. There's no nobler.
I'm going to let you take this one.
No. Well, the first one's the truth. We all know that one.
Okay. Okay, so you already know that.
I know the pool is the truth.
Song and I have played pool games together at Bedrock Billiards.
But I didn't think you would necessarily assume
that you were good enough to qualify.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe you could chime in then.
I've never heard of Jack and Jill either.
All right, so pool is the truth. The third one had a lot of specifics. I'm going to say you did not do karate.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that.
I knew that was going to give me away if I didn't get too many details.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
So we win.
You're correct.
Yay.
We are correct. Wow. 2020 looking up for us.
Yeah.
This is newfound. All right. We're going to ride the wave. David.
Okay. You had the wine director from Rake's Progress on a couple weeks ago, and I like what she did with just focusing on jobs.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Felicia.
Yeah.
You've done your homework, man.
Well, I occasionally listen to your shit. Podcast, whatever. So, I'm focusing on jobs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My first restaurant job was working as a dishwasher at a place called the Pancake Wagon.
Sounds very Pennsylvania.
When I had left school and I was living out in California, and I worked as secretary for the director of a preschool at the JCC.
Secretary for the director, okay.
When I went back to college, I worked as a motorcycle mechanic while I went to school, part-time on weekends.
You have the tattoos to look like you worked on motorcycles.
It'd be too obvious, though.
It'd be too obvious, right?
Yeah.
The second one, again, a very specific.
David probably can't acronyms. Fix anything.
Oh, wow. I think you tapped into something there. Sung is laughing. I think. All right, yeah.
I bet.
And notice how both of them saved the lie for last.
Ooh.
Well, you're assuming.
Well, I'm assuming, but in our mind here. Yeah, I'm going
to
go.
I just went.
I have been to a yard sale at your house, and I don't remember seeing many tools, so.
I'm not going to sell the tools.
Sure.
They're in the workshop.
That just kind of proves against our point here. I think the motorcycle's a lie.
Yeah, motorcycle's a lie.
Yeah, it's a lie.
Yay. Yeah,
we're good. Wow, we're good. Do you have a fire sound effects?
Good job. I did almost go to motorcycle mechanic school.
Well, there's that place up in Northeast where you can pay a subscription and they will teach you how to work on your bike.
I've heard of the place. I've never been.
And I forget, I'm not doing them any justice right now, but yeah. My bike has been broken for a couple months now and I've been wanting to go over there and just learn how to fix it.
How did you come here?
I ride the Revels now. Have you guys done these yet?
No.
God, they're so addictive and easy.
Is that why you rode up here? That's why you're a bigger.
That's why we were late.
Yeah. I rode on the back of her bike.
Yeah. Eddie would ride on the back of my bike as well. Very often. You're probably the...
Well, otherwise his hair would be getting in the face.
I'm still reveling in the fact that we won so hard here.
Yeah, damn it. You guys never get this right.
It's true, yeah.
You seriously never get it right.
Because you do listen to our show.
You've set a new bar.
Wow, we're so simple.
But, all right, so the pool thing, do you guys have a billiards table at your home?
No. We had toyed with that before, but realized there was just no room for it. Plus, I haven't played pool since All Souls was open, so 6 years. But I used to go every Tuesday, at least once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a lot of time.
Generally twice a week.
We played a lot of pool. Like I would spend like 5 days a week at Bedrock.
Bedrock is
Which is one of the best bars in D.C.
Still such a great bar.
It is the quintessential neighborhood bar.
Yeah.
It is 100%. Right around the corner from here, too. Yeah.
Our pool keys are still there.
We still have a locker.
Do you still have a locker?
Do you really?
And my father plays on a nine ball league on Mondays, so he is there every week, and I think he holds court in that place.
I do miss it though. Every once in a while, I'm like, let's go play, and then it's too late, and I'm tired.
What is it about a good billiard? Like, what checks off your list for a great billiards bar?
Good tables.
If anything,
and would Buffalo Billiards have made the cut?
We used to play at Buffalo, and.
But DC has a dearth of pool halls in general.
Bedrock's the best, though. Yeah. I mean, they have good tables. It's just a solid bar. I mean, they have regulars that never even pick up a pool cue. It's that kind of place. Whereas there's a Venn diagram of, like, pool players and regulars, and there's a small intersection of that. And
I'm the guy doing the shuffleboard thing in the corner.
There's shuffleboard.
I mean, they have something for everybody.
There's the mandatory deer hunt, big buck hunter.
Yeah.
Do they have that now?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we've been there years.
Yeah.
Little something for everybody. Now, what are your thoughts on bumper pool? Because I feel like that's contentious.
I spent a couple years going to school in West Virginia where bumper pool is in every bar.
Yeah.
And so you play bumper pool and you sing Country Roads. That's what happens.
I find it very unsatisfying, though, there's nothing. The most satisfying thing about pool is the balls going in the pocket.
Yes.
Or like hiding behind other balls. But bumper pool, I see,
for me, it's the math. You know, it's the angles, the geometry. I'm actually really horrible at
pool. It's all physics. Let me explain that to you.
I haven't played bumper pool in years, and I think
maybe you should put one. You're about to open up a new bar over on 8th Street.
We are trying.
Trying to. It's going to have pizza.
It will.
And
Little Grand.
The Little Grand.
The
yes.
Little Grand.
The Little Grand.
I was corrected earlier. The General Design Company? No.
It used to be.
Yes, I remember this now. Yes.
About the to the or not to the. We were a the, and then we dropped the because the was just too.
The.
Was one of my favorite bands, actually, in high school. It's there if it feels natural. If you want to just say Little Grand, it's Little Grand. You know, I think it depends on the context.
I firmly believe in the.
The? Is this where the split happens? How was your office? Was it split between?
No, we were all comfortable giving it up. Yeah.
We actually wanted to call it Alley Bar, but because alphabetically it would have fallen in right behind All Souls. But our partner was not amused.
Yeah. You're like, it's very straightforward. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's the problem.
It is in an alley.
Mm-hmm. I walked by the other day. It's going to have an alley entrance.
Yes.
Yeah. So it would be off the main strip of 8th Street.
It's a 7th Street address. Yeah. So it's in the Apollo building. It'll be behind Solid State Books. Mm-hmm. So the WeWork space juts out from the Apollo onto 7th Street. If you were standing in front of that and you step to the left, there's an alley. And right now there's just a brick wall, but eventually that will be our facade.
I've just been thinking, like, since day one, All Souls almost effortlessly always had that cool thing, and you guys nailed it out of the bag. And I'm like, how are they going to repeat that with the Little Grand? But you have hidden curb appeal. You got the alley.
It's actually the exact opposite, because All Souls is a corner bar.
This is an alley bar.
But now you got to know where this fucking
And now you're
bar
an alley bar.
But to us, it felt like the same thing. Because we're really tucked. I mean, we're a corner bar, so we're sort of right out there. But it's a really quiet intersection. And we're not on 7th Street. We're not on U Street. We're sort of off the beaten path. And I think we liked, you know, you're familiar with the space. And we liked the idea of being on 8th Street, but not really. So, you know, we're kind of around the corner. You have to make a concerted effort to get there. You know, I mean, we weren't trying to hide or anything. I just like the fact it's just might be a little quieter.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk pizza?
We can.
As a man that grew up in Pennsylvania, spent some time in San Francisco and maybe a little West Virginia, it sounds like. Detroit pizza is suddenly a very big thing. Where are we going with the pizza?
That's funny, because ME Squared is moving in across the street from All Souls, and I've never really had. And
oh, that's where it's going to be. Yes.
Yeah, they're in the old Curacao space.
I have had ME Squared. It's Detroit style pizza.
Right.
It's very, very hip and cool in its and how they market themselves.
So I grew up in Michigan, and I just never considered Detroit style pizza a thing until, like, looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Like,
I've never had it.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
It's just pizza that's over the top. That's like not...
It's square.
Yeah, square. Fine.
It's thicker.
It's interesting what's happening with pizza, right? There's so many definitions about what pizza is, and you're categorizing it.
Yeah.
But when we were first talking about the pizza, it was really just about, like, good pizza that we were craving that wasn't Neapolitan.
Yeah.
Because Neapolitan, you know, you've got to have the fire and everything, and there's just so much of it.
A lot of rules.
And when we were exploring what kind of pizza we wanted, we kept going back to these memories of, you know, Ilario's, which was in College Park many years ago, had a square, like a marinara pizza that was just a square Sicilian style, no cheese, completely vegan, just chunky tomato sauce, really fresh and bright with crushed garlic on it and olive oil. It was so simple but delicious. And we could go there and all of our friends, from the vegans to the meat eaters, could go and have something. It
didn't matter what you ate. Everyone got a slice of, like, whatever they wanted.
Right.
And a slice of the marinara. It was that kind of pizza. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone got it. Yeah, and there's something about just the...
And you worked at Haleo for a long time, and I'm not going to call it...
They'll make pizza.
Well, they make pan con tomat.
Speaking of Haleo...
Which is one of my favorite...
I'm thinking a very long stretch, but it's bread with tomatoes.
It's... Which is garlic. Delicious.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
The communal aspect. I was telling somebody yesterday, like... So Papa John's, they allow you to, we're just going off track here, they allow you to choose the cut of your pizza. It comes circular no matter what, but I always choose the square cut, because I don't think anybody actually orders a square cut, so instinctively they always cut it like a normal pizza, but then they're like, oh shit, he ordered the square cut, and then they'll cut the squares on top of the other, like, the already sliced pizza. So you're getting these, like, weird shapes so that
you... Little tiny bites that you have to eat with a toothpick.
I love it. It cracks me up. But they like, literally every time it comes, like, the whole thing is just a puzzle piece. It's amazing.
I mean, I think the problem might be you're ordering Papa John's.
It's my guilty pizza. And I understand how disgusting
it is. Oh, wait a minute. I like Papa John's.
Come on, man. Pizza Doro.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
But, I live in Southeast now.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to get pizza.
So you guys both work in the food and hospitality beverage, but you guys come at it from different directions. How much is All Souls a pretty solid collaboration between you two? I know the branding has always been on point, so
that's All Song. The branding's All Song. The space was the space. It was, you know, it's an old building. It's 100 years old. It had a lot of character. We pretty much just, the architect drew up the plans that we had on the napkin, you know, that was written out. And so there wasn't that much to do with it. It was about fitting what we could into that space, utilizing the bar that we had. And then really the design and how it looks, that's All Song. You know, the branding song, the color scheme.
There was definitely still a collaboration because, of course, I mean, there were the inspiration and where we were coming from was a conversation that with our other partner too, Joanna.
That's a conversation that's been happening for that. Yeah. You know, it happened for 10 years before.
Also, we actually probably gets the short end of the stick though when you think about like what I could bring to the table, like, and not to mention the little grand is also gonna. I mean, that's in a whole nother. It's probably one of the reasons why we can possibly get divorced. But
if we didn't get divorced while All Souls was happening, then
right, there was a lot of
All Souls set the bar, and then you guys are like, well, we did that. Now we can pretty much do anything.
We actually did some renovations on our house, and that was where we really, it's like, that's, we're not going to leave each other now.
Well, you also lived above General Design Company during your house renovations.
We lived in General
Design Company. Oh, one and the same.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a really true test.
With three dogs.
Four dogs.
Oh,
at the time, it was four dogs, yes.
Four dogs, yes. That was very interesting because our office, it's a really nice layout, but our conference room is in a loft space that has a full bathroom, et cetera. But we
slept on the conference table.
We contained ourselves in that space, which meant that every activity for the office that happened there had to get pushed down into the main level. So our main client meetings were happening down below. If David was sleeping, because, you know, he works late hours, if he was sleeping upstairs, I would sometimes be crossing my fingers that he wouldn't cough. Or because the door didn't close all the way, because it was a loft. So it just slid.
It wasn't a door. It was just sliding. There was no real door. I had to make sure I was always wearing pants.
Yes, that was the only
request. I think I succeeded.
Yeah. You did. No alarming.
Sleeping in pants.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't sleep in pants. I mean, when I was out of the bed.
Yeah, that was challenging.
So future clients of General Design Company, maybe you'll get a glance of David in his...
Oh, those days
are
way...
Those days are gone. Yeah. Sorry, missed your opportunity. Nobody wants to see that.
But, I mean, we were talking about names before, and is the Little Grand, is that something that you guys worked out together? And like, what was that? Like, what was that process?
Yeah, the three of us.
For sure. I mean, starting with working through the concept, and, I mean, All Souls, I think... We sometimes talk about how the Little Grand might be a little closer to what All Souls originally was intended to be, where there was a food element. But we just happened into this space with All Souls that had a lot of natural character to it, so we didn't have to do that much to it. Opened up some windows and picked some paint and did some signage and kept everything fairly minimal. But because we're going into this completely new build, this new construction, it goes back to what you had said earlier, Matt, about how do you create that environment and that same sort of cachet, so to speak. So The alley entrance helps with that.
Yeah.
It's not right on H Street in this brand new, sparkly, amazing building, but new. So this place required a lot more intention and more thought about how we were going to package all of those things. So starting with the name to... the way that the visual identity is going to come together, to the way that the interior, we actually hired an interior designer this time so that we weren't just, I wasn't making decisions.
And who was that?
Oh, Brooke Lowen of Willow Studio.
Yeah, there you go.
She does really incredible home furnishings too, but she's also going to we're developing a little bit more of a branded interior, branded environment component to what General Design Company does. So she's going to be leading that charge for us.
Awesome.
And the architects are playing a bigger role too.
Yeah, Grupo 7. Mm-hmm. Because we just needed a lot more.
Yeah.
In this
sounds
space.
Like you're bringing a lot more tools to the exactly. sandbox.
Because it was new construction and it just didn't have the natural character. Yeah. So mm-hmm. when we were really trying to create there's been lots of inspiration of bars and places at the end of an alley, and we're trying to create this sort of little jam, little jewel box at the end, like a light mm-hmm. at the end of the alley. And so that's kind of where the name sort of also came from. So like this, it's a small space, it's 1,200 square feet, so it's slightly bigger than All Souls. It's just All Souls with a kitchen. And then, but like to kind of create a little beacon at the end, you know.
But to be fair, it's also still in this brand new, very clean alley. It's not like an alley in New York or, you know, where...
It's well lit.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
I haven't been by at night. I'm actually not sure. There's a light right there. I'm not sure how well lit.
I mean,
it is.
WeWork offices look down onto the alley. It's not seedy in any way. So some of that veneer of and layering of what could bring natural charm isn't necessarily there. So it's really like, okay, let's create this with a lot of intention, knowing all of that.
I mean, we haven't done that yet, so we don't actually know what it's going to look
amazing.
Like.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's still a brick wall.
I mean, I feel like 2017, 2018, you saw like a lot of ampersands in the names. There was an article that recently came out about 2019 was the year of like naming restaurants after or like important female figures in people's lives. As somebody that works in design and does a lot of branding, what do you see happening in 2020?
With naming or just branding in general?
Naming, branding, is cursive, is that done?
There are definitely those... there are definitely those motifs and those trends that come and go, right? You see something and everyone gloms onto it.
Rooster and owl.
There was a whole hipster name generator engine that you just punch something in and it spits out two this and that. The opportunity for us is to make sure that we're looking at all of those trends, but not getting sucked in. Like we're always trying to create something current, but not falling into something that's going to look
in two years,
exactly. Yeah. Which is really challenging because everyone's looking at the same inspiration and
right.
getting
and,
excited
and get
about
excited
the same
things.
Exactly. But
I mean, Sun gave us these beautiful coasters. As it was like a Christmas gag gift that your company did. It's representative of what you see. Or what you don't like, would not like to see?
No, I mean, it was a playful way of leaning into design, right? And just saying, I mean, our name is General Design Company. It's pretty banal. And that was very intentional early on, where at the time when I started...
utilitarian, yeah.
Very utilitarian. And that was one of our whole
rolls
goals.
Off the tongue. GDC, yeah.
Does it? Because a lot of...
it used to be TGD Co.
Right, oh, when we had the thun.
TGD Co, took me years to figure out how to say. Yeah. TGD Co.
Once you got it, though, you got it. It was like you had to be in the know and be practiced at it, and then it was, yeah. But we decided we were just going to have fun with these coasters and create all of these fake general brands. So because we're General Design Company, like what other ridiculous general things are there? General Admission University, you know, General Anesthesia.
General Tso's Chicken.
General Tso's Chicken Sanctuary.
Well, we're probably taking a little step out for a second, catch a breather, listen to some groovy tunes. You are listening to Shift Drink. I'm Matthew Ramsey.
I'm Eddie Kim.
And we are with David Batista and Sungweiser. If I come into a party hitting reps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting reps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting reps like this, all you superficial rappers will cease to exist. If I come into a party hitting reps like this, we'll be right back.
track you're listening to during the break is by DJ RecTech. For more information, visit fullserviceradio.org.
Thanks for coming back. You're listening to Shift Drink on all full service radio, not all souls service radio.
Although there's a future in that. There's a future in that.
We are here with David Batista and Sung Weiser. Can we talk about? We talked about the Little Grand, but going back to All Souls, it's a corner bar. Are you gonna have? Are you gonna bring back like little gems of like furniture or fixtures, just like the old Haleo bar? So you brought back the old... Okay, so if you ever go to All Souls, it's a corner bar. It's a beautiful curved copper bar top kind of in the middle of it, you know, splitting it in half. And it is the old bar at the old Haleo.
It's the original bar from
Haleo. Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Yeah.
That's why it takes up a ridiculous amount of space.
Yes.
In the bar.
We stole it.
Yeah, it's probably the most luxurious bartending back bar I've ever seen. You guys can move around. You guys can dance.
Such a wild fact. I did not know.
That is the reason.
You can lean back and drink your coffee.
Because the curve already existed, and we tried to utilize the entirety of the bar. It pushed the bar out about 2 feet from what the original drawings were, and there is so much room back there that on a weekday night you don't feel so bad, but on a weekend night you kind of feel bad. Like, if we can get 10 more people in there if they came behind the bar,
us versus them all of a sudden. Yeah,
but at the same time it's also a really weird bar to work at because we're all used to working linear. You know, you move forward, you move back, you move sideways. When you move in circles, man, it's a whole different game, and
that's a different muscle.
Yeah, we run into each other a lot, and that's mostly because, you know, I'm terrible at looking where I'm going.
I think that everybody is asking and wants to know, will the Eddie Kim be at the Little Grand?
Oh, God.
You can always get an Eddie Kim, or you can get Eddie Kim'd.
Oh, yeah.
So I can go into this.
Oh, okay,
I think we have to.
Sure.
So Eddie Kim, the person, has been known to come into All Souls.
I was there on opening day.
And he, yes, as you know, he, yes, likes to drink highballs. So a Dick O'Ryan soda is also known as an Eddie Kim.
I will admit to that.
I've had many an Eddie Kim in my day.
That's, yeah.
And to bring it back, Eddie Kim was recently on NPR doing a highball.
Making an Eddie Kim, of sorts.
It was pretty fancy, yeah.
Yeah, it was a fancy Eddie Kim.
So if you haven't listened to it already,
we will post it up. Yeah. I will.
But if you see Eddie Kim walking towards the bar, we have lots of windows, and you start to prepare an Eddie Kim, and it's a, you know, it's a Dicklin soda, and he walks by, then you just got Eddie Kim.
Oh wow, that's
I like going down.
That's
like
different
walking,
than a cold soda.
I like walking down the side street, so sometimes I want to walk by and not look in the window and like say hi. See what's going on, but not necessarily walk in.
Not obligated to go in.
I like the hospitality side where you just see this guy and you're like, I'm going to make this man a drink.
Sometimes he's indecisive when he comes in, so that way he can actually get a drink while he's thinking about what he wants to drink.
Eddie Kim is the most indecisive person I've ever met. Yeah, you will make plans with Eddie Kim and he will...
Mike D will just start making it.
Commit to all things.
That's Mike Dillon.
He'll
force you to drink that, yes.
Yeah, he'll stare at me and then I'll just have to drink it.
You are constantly kind of just rotating cocktails in and out. a staple that always kind of seems to recirculate is The Godfather.
We actually move forward with the numbers.
Move forward, okay.
Yep. Once something is a number, it's always a number, and The Godfather is one of our cocktails.
God, it's so... So that was... And I think I probably even told you this at some point. When I was first starting to drink and like I could actually order a drink at a bar, I had gotten this giant book of cocktails, and I was like, what am I going to drink when I go to the bar? What am I going to order? And I see this thing, The Godfather. I'm like, A, that sounds fucking cool. B, like, I love amaretto. And, I mean, I was, you know, what, 20 or 19. And I went to Blues Alley. And I ordered a Godfather. They're like, what's that?
I was going to say, what place actually knew what a Godfather was?
No one has ever known what a Godfather is. So what I saw on your actual menu, I was super excited about that.
But. What number is that, The Godfather?
I think that's the 18. 18 and 20, I mix up. 20's a Rob Roy, 18's a Godfather.
Talk about the 11. That's the best one.
The 11 is no longer in existence. We've shut it down.
That's the one that I forced him to make for me. I was like, I want a savory cocktail.
Oh.
Oh, so what is it?
It was a dry Rob Roy with a smoked pickled carrot that we can no longer source. And the carrot was crucial to the drink. It actually wasn't bad.
But the problem was the carrots were also pickled with garlic. So as they sat around longer...
We got a case. And
it was impossible to have one of those and not feel like you had to leave to brush your teeth. Right. Because the garlic was just... Dragon fire.
We had some fans of the 11. There was a bunch of librarians in D.C. that came to drink the 11 that worked down.
Turns
at the,
out librarians give a fuck
yeah,
about
it. They worked at the Shaw Library and they came up.
Savory
they,
cocktails.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to bring this up. Can we talk about your kimchi making escapades?
You've never actually seen my kimchi making escapades. You've just seen
the
paraphernalia.
Aftermath, yes.
Yeah. Eddie came to our yard sale and I loaded him up with a box full of
empty
kimchi jars.
Every Korean will always have extra empty jars laying around. Yeah. Just ask.
But I am not bad at kimchi making. I just have to say, my quick pickle
no,
skills
it's good.
Though are on point.
It's better than our kimchi.
And your kimchi that you make is vegan, David is vegan.
Vegetarian.
Oh,
yeah.
It's vegetarian, so yes, there are no oyster, no fish sauce.
Nope.
No lingering oysters.
Nope.
No.
None of that good savory fish stuff.
I think you feel strongly about fish sauce, right?
I mean, I like the stuff. I'll dabble. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my favorite thing.
But you had a great time. You guys went to Korea recently and had a great time eating and.
Did we have a great time?
I'm
not sure we had a great time.
So this is
that was a family obligation, man.
Awesome segue to. So
okay, fine.
We're about to get divorced again, I think.
Season 7, we're bringing the drama. That's what this is all about now.
We're going to bring in Esther Perel, and it's going to be couples therapy.
No, so for Please. Many, many years, every time we talked about traveling, this looming...
Well, her mother was here, and then she moved back to Korea after, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
And so she's been there now for maybe 14, 15?
Yeah. So it kept coming up that we couldn't go anywhere out of the country until we went to Korea first.
Oh.
It was really hamstringing us.
But early on, when she first moved there, she was like, come, but don't bring David, because no one will understand the tattoos. And she was like, only people who...
But he's a bike mechanic.
When she lived here, she told her family I was a teacher, because being a bartender was not, you know, acceptable.
What kind of teacher?
A school teacher. I was a school teacher. I couldn't be a bartender, because it was not acceptable.
It was not acceptable. So she was like, if he has a shaved head and tattoos and he comes to Korea, everyone's going to think he just came out of prison. But when we went, in Seoul and some of the... One, nobody in my family even looked twice at his tattoos. They didn't ask... One guy asked some questions, but more out of curiosity than...
Drunk uncle.
Disdain. Yeah, drunkle.
There's always one drunkle in the mix.
And he was great.
But it was fun. It was a little... difficult because David can't eat a lot of the things that were super exciting and fun.
And this is going to sound terrible. Everyone was so hospitable and so nice. and they were great, that you just want to be left alone sometimes. You're like, please, like, no.
Stop doting on me.
I learned how to say, no thank you, I'm fine. I can't even remember how to say that anymore.
Kenchanayo. Anio. Kenchanayo. That's all I do.
And it was just like, I'm great. Please leave me alone. Please stop. And, which sounds terrible because everyone was so great.
It's too much love.
It was too much love.
Yeah. Was a lot.
But now this opens you up for new adventures and international travel again.
Now we can go anywhere.
What's on the bucket list?
We're never going anywhere again. Like we said, we just did renovations. Yeah, we're trying to open a new place. There's no plans on the horizon.
Oh, you can sneak a trip in somewhere.
That's what I'm thinking. Even if it's, I mean, we talk a lot about just trying to make time for smaller trips too, right? To
eat pizza
somewhere. I mean, even just hit some of the more accessible, smaller
Go get
cities.
That douchey lifestyle in Aruba, guys.
Maybe even Richmond, you know, let's go down to Richmond.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Check out some douchey places in Richmond.
We're going to a wedding. We are going to go down to Richmond.
I mean, we should have higher aspirations.
No, there's no shit in this.
But we also have dogs, too, that are a little...
There's one challenging dog. There's a challenge. She's a little...
She's on the spectrum.
I don't know if you could say that, but...
No, I think
on the dog spectrum.
On the dog spectrum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever. I don't know what spectrum you're talking about. It's the same thing. She's
2020, bringing the drama. Well, let's cut to our final little game here. A thing we call Rapid Fire.
Time for the payback.
Rapid Fire.
David, first one. This is aimed at you. You see a lot of dates. A lot of dates and drunken nights. What is the what's the weirdest couple thing that has happened at your bar?
I don't know. I can't answer. Mostly, I try to shut everything out. You know, I don't see anything. I think the most recent thing was there. A couple made out, and left the bar on Christmas Day. That's
nice, a Christmas miracle.
A Christmas Day hookup is sick. The most recent thing, but otherwise, you know, we don't see unless you're ordering drinks. We don't hear anything. We don't see anything. We know nothing.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Are you hiding a white collar?
I saw something at your bar one time, but I won't talk about it.
Everybody's suddenly
Eddie Kim, you're gonna start throwing stones, man. Like, come on.
Yeah, to be fair, Eddie Kim is doing this out of production for himself here.
What am I gonna ask? What is your favorite color of Pantone?
Ooh.
Wow, great question.
Whoa. Is that even possible?
I don't know if it is.
You can literally just list any four numbers. Yeah.
I'll say 159U, which is only because that's my favorite red when I'm trying to find a good red.
Oh, yeah?
A little bit.
What is it called?
Deeper. 159, but the uncoated version. 159U.
Oh, it doesn't have like a weird name?
Oh,
like,
no.
Don't they give
it
weird names?
No. There are many.
You're thinking of nail polish, buddy.
There are separate. there are certain. There's a core level of Pantone, which is like Reflex Blue and. There's some core ones, but most of them are just numbered. There's also other systems that are textiles and for other applications that might have names. Mm-hmm. Not as familiar with those, but
blue is the official color of this year, by the way. Pantone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a kind of bright sapphire-y thing. Yeah.
What was your first concert that you saw together?
Oh fuck, who knows? Oh, actually, that was our first date.
Yeah. But I can't remember the name of the band. I just have this vision of the drummer standing naked, dripping.
It was a Pittsburgh band.
Wesley Student Center.
Denora played, Darren Zentek's band.
But it was a fairly big, like,
Denora
band
Jones?
No, just Denora was the name. They were also a Western Pennsylvania band, or...
I can't remember.
But yeah, the drummer's name was... Damon, and he was a big dude. He was, I don't know, like 6'3", 6'4", heavy, very sweaty, and he just went in, like he played, and then...
We were also hosting, this is not what Rapid Fire.
No, this is super Rapid Fire.
It was like a, you know, a bunch of us would put on shows in this like church basement, and there was like a kitchen there, and we'd make food for the bands, and the guy just kind of walked into the kitchen and stripped down completely naked and just like started toweling off. It was horrific.
Don't remember the music, but God, that guy had a nice...
The band was great, though.
Yeah, I don't remember.
That was, I mean, that
was those hand motions.
That was 94. Yeah.
Pretty visual.
Really put the towel on.
I thought
you were
going to ask what
off.
Our first concert was, man. Yeah, okay.
When we were living together in the TGD Co.
Nice.
Just GD Co now.
GD Co. Offices, what was your favorite meal to make?
Probably the same meal that David makes all the time, which is just pasta and red sauce.
That's your go-to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could do that blindfolded.
He's gotten pretty good at it. Really good, simple red sauce.
It's my blood.
After all these years, he's gotten good at it.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that.
Depending on how late others were working, they would be involved in dinner, too. Because, you know,
I don't even remember what we ate there.
Pasta and red sauce.
Yeah.
This kind of segues to my next question. What would you say your love language of food is? Like your shared food love languages?
Pizza?
I don't know. We eat
pasta.
I like pasta. We do different. We both cook and we both do different things. And it's
soup.
Soup is the thing. Soup is the...
Soup is your comfort.
We'll both make soups and...
Our soups are very different, too. And I think they lean towards our backgrounds, really. I'll make bastardized Asian variations of soup, and David will do some sort of minestrone vegetable thing.
But we could eat soup all the time.
And then you blend them together.
And then we make, yes, just one big pot, yeah.
A soup baby.
I'm going to ask an interesting question. If you traveled... somewhere, anywhere in the world right now, now that you're free to travel outside of Korea, but solo, where would it be?
Individually?
Oh.
I would go to
Off
Greece.
The top of your head.
Yeah.
Greece.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking mainland or islands or all of the above?
Santorini, just some like very like postcard picturesque, lots of seafood, olive oil, lemon.
She's mad because she's been to Europe several times, but never to Greece in the...
That's the one place I've always wanted to go.
One of the two trips I've actually made was to Greece. So.
But he didn't remember any of it because he was pretty much drunk the entire time.
It was a wine trip.
Island life, bro.
No, it was work. It was, smoking cigarettes and drinking espresso and a shit ton of wine.
Yeah.
I would go to Spain. That's where I always want to go. I would always...
Well, you used to work at Haleo, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, those, and that's, I think that carries a lot of weight for me. Like,
yeah.
That food, that
the food's amazing. I mean, that's not amazing.
You got that list down?
You can
blend right
in. I've been
in.
Working on it. Yeah.
And finally here, this is a question we often ask, deathbed meals.
I practiced this one because I knew you might, or I assumed you might ask, but I also couldn't really think of a concise answer other than to say... Well, I thought about it. It would probably be super simple. White rice, maybe some like toasted seaweed, some little pickled things, like those little pickled dried or salted fish things. I don't know what they're called. Maybe you do, Eddie. But
melchi?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. But when they're like soy sauce and
they're hanging out with. Yeah.
Just like little pickly things like that. That would probably be... Like,
Song and I are bad Koreans. just to let everyone know we're bad Koreans. Like,
yeah, I could say hello and thank you.
But bad kimchi.
There's
Koreans.
Probably a cool patch that you can make out of for the bad Korean club. Right. David?
Italian roots, man. I got to go pasta red sauce.
That
is the simplest...
Covered in Parmesan.
Best thing.
Probably equal amounts of Parmesan.
That's important.
I'd like some Parmesan, yes. Fresh olive oil, come on.
Well, thank you two so much for joining us this week and taking the time. Listeners, you can join us next week, Monday. We record every day, or every Monday. I don't know, I'm not reading a script right now. you can revisit this week's episodes or previous episodes on iTunes or wherever you grab your podcasts, like the Spotify.
A special thank you to Jeffrey Lemereau for intro music and DJ RecTech for the hilarious sound effects. Stay tuned next week. I think we're trying out some new intro music, so We'll have some new tunes coming up.
Very Naruto of us.
Yeah.
They changed the theme song every season.
Everyone, please remember to go online, comment, leave your trade representative some information about the wine tariffs. And there are actually a bunch of wine events happening all around town to kind of talk about these issues. Emily's is going to have a wine tariff later this month. So just keep an ear out. Come back and listen to us. We'll keep talking about the weird stuff.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Until next week.
Yeah.